11. Tarantula. Locked her bike in the alley and used her phone to let herself into the back of Forever Fab, smelling pancakes and the shrimp rice bowl special from Sushi Barn. Pancakes meant they were printing with that plastic you could compost. Shrimp special was Shailene's midnight snack. Edward was on a stool in the middle of the room, monitoring. He wore sunglasses against the flashes of UV, with his viz behind the glasses, on one side. In the low light, the glasses looked the same color as his face, but shinier.
"Seen Macon?"
she asked.
"No Macon."
Near comatose with boredom and the hour.
"You want a break, Edward?"
"I'm okay."
She glanced at the long work table, stacked with jobs needing removal of afterbirth, smoothing, assembly. She spent a lot of hours at that table. Shailene was a solid source of casual employment, if you got along with her and were quick with your hands. Looked like they were printing toys tonight, or maybe decorations for the 4th. She went into the front, found Shailene watching the news, ugly spirited sign carriers. Shailene looked up.
"Hear from Burton?"
"No," Flynn lied. "What's happening?" Didn't want to have the Burton conversation. Odds of avoiding it were zero.
"Homeland took some vets away. I'm worried about him. Got Edward to sub for you."
"Saw him," Flynn said. "Breakfast?"
"You're up early."
"Haven't slept."
She hadn't said what it was she'd needed to do. Wouldn't now.
"Seen Macon?"
Shailene flicked through the display with a fancy resin nail. Look 4-5 tumbling back into the green of some imaginary savanna.
"Wasn't that kind of night?"
Meaning she'd pitched the all-nighter because there was excess work to be done, not because Macon needed peace and quiet to fab his funnies. Flynn wasn't sure how much of Fab's income was funny, but assumed a good part of it was. There was a Fabbit franchise a mile down the highway, with bigger printers, more kinds, but you didn't do anything funny at Fabbit.
"I'm dieting,"
Shailene said. Flamingos rose from the savannah.
"That the purple?"
"Burton,"
Shailene said, standing, slipping in a finger to tug at the waist of her jeans.
"Burton can take care of himself."
"VA aren't doing shit to help him recover."
What Shailene saw as Burton's primary symptom of traumatic stress, Flynn thought, was his ongoing failure to ask her out. Shailene sighed that Flynn didn't get it, how her brother was. Shailene had big hair without actually having it, Flynn's mother had once said. Something that came up through any remake, like marker ink through latex paint. Flynn liked her, except for the Burton thing.
"You see Macon? Ask him to get in touch with me. Need some help with my phone."
Starting to turn to go.
"Sorry, my bitch,"
Shailene said. Flynn squeezed her shoulder.
"Let you know as soon as I hear from him."
Let herself out the back, and with a nod to Edward. Connor Penske blew past on his tarantula as she was turning out of the alley behind Fab. What was left of him, a jagged black scrawl behind the 2 front wheels. Janet sewed him these multi-zippered sock-like things out of black polar tech. They looked, as Janet worked on them, like fitted cases for something you couldn't imagine, which Flynn guessed they were. Town's only other Haptrek vet. He'd come back in one of the ways she'd been scared Burton would. Minus a leg, the foot of the other one, the arm on the opposite side, and the thumb and 2 fingers of the remaining hand. Handsome face unscarred, which made it weirder. She smiled recycled fried chicken fat hanging in the trike's exhaust trail as the single huge rear slick vanished down Baker Way. Road at night, mostly county roads. This county and the next 2 or 3 over, steering with a servo rig the VA paid for. She figured he got loose that way. Basically didn't stop until the fuel was running out. Hooked up to a Texas catheter and high on something wakey. Slept all day if he could. Burton helped him out at home, sometimes. He made her sad. A sweet boy in high school. For all, he'd been that good-looking. Neither he nor Burton ever said anything to anyone that she knew of about what had happened to him. She rode to Jimmy's, letting the hub do most of the work. Went in and sat at the counter, ordered eggs and bacon and toast, no coffee. In the Red Bull mirror behind the counter, the cartoon bull noticed her, winked. She dodged eye contact. She hated it when they spoke to you, called you by your name. That mirror was the newest thing in Jimmy's, a place that had been old when her mother had gone to high school. Everything old in Jimmy's had at some point been painted in one or another generation of dark, shiny brown, including the floor. The onions were starting to sizzle for the lunch dogs. Stung her eyes. She'd have the smell in her hair. Hefty Mart would open. She'd walk up and down the aisles, while forklifts brought in shrink-wrapped pallets. She liked it in there, early. She'd spend one of the shiny new fives on two bags of groceries, things that would keep in the cupboard. The neighbors had all grown more vegetables than they knew what to do with, out of a random stretch of rain. Then she'd go by Farmer John and put on another five against her mother's prescriptions. Then ride home, get the panniers unloaded, contents into the pantry, lucky if she didn't wake anybody but the cat. The edge of the counter was trimmed with LEDs like the ones in Burton's trailer, under a sloppier application of polymer. She'd never seen them on, but it had been at least a year since she'd been in here with the place in bar mode. She pressed the polymer with her thumb, feeling it give. Burton and Leon, before they enlisted, learned you could use a syringe to inject the same stuff, still liquid, into the part of a shotgun shell that held the shot, then quickly epoxy over the hole you'd made. The polymer stayed wet in there, most of the time anyway, between the little lead balls, so it didn't expand. When you fired one, it solidified as the shot left the barrel, producing a weird potato-shaped lump of polymer and lead, so slow that you could almost see it tumble out of the barrel. Heavy, elastic, they'd bounce these off the concrete walls and ceilings in the county storm shelter, trying to hit things around corners. Leon had gotten keys to the place. Looked weird when you weren't in there with everybody else, hiding from a tornado. Burton, after a while, actually could hit things around corners, but the sound of the Mossberg hurt her ears, even with earplugs. Burton had been different then. Not just thinner, gangly, which seemed impossible now, but messy. She'd noticed, the night before, how everything she hadn't touched, in the trailer, was perfectly squared up with the edge of something else. Leon said the core had turned Burton into a neat freak, but she hadn't really thought about it before. She reminded herself to take that empty Red Bull can out to the recycle bin, spend some time straightening things up. Girl brought her eggs. She heard Connor's trike pass again, out beyond the parking lot. Nothing else on the road sounded like that. Police pretty much gave him a pass, because he ran mostly late at night. She hoped he was on his way home.